Take your Bibles, if you will, please, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I'm kind of back on task this morning with our series we've been doing on There Is Hope. Is there hope? And a lot of depression and all those kind of things going on these days. And the fact is, nothing has changed. Why is it all of a sudden there's a problem? Because now all of a sudden you think there's no hope. Now it's like the problems were bigger than we are, so I could handle the problem before, but I'm okay. I was okay, but now it's too big for me and I'm having a problem. Well, the real existence, the real answer to all our problems hasn't changed any. And the answer to our problem is bigger than any problem. The answer is way up here. You got all the problems. Some of them are bigger than others, but the answer is here. And so no matter how big the problem gets, the answer is always bigger than that, and the answer is not something that we can do. And so why should our disposition begin to change? Why should our attitude change when the problems look more insurmountable? Because they're not insurmountable through the one who takes care of our issues. And so that's where we are. And so we're talking about this. And let's begin verse number one of Psalm 27. Psalm 27. When we read this verse a few weeks ago, passage, a few of these verses, but I want you to show you something here, and we'll get to the very last verse, but I want you to read with me, get the context where the last verse goes. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And whenever I do the Psalm 23, I always start, okay, the Lord, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one, the creator of the universe. Is my light and my salvation. He's bigger than everything. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I'm walking it. No, you don't have to walk in darkness because he's your light. But everything's dark around me. Sure, it might be dark around you. But the Lord's my light. If you're not walking in the light, you're not going to have his light. But he's light. He's my light. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Hey, whom should I fear? My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Who should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And yet we have people who wander around. One of the main reasons for depression is fear. Fear of not having your needs met. Listen, there are people who are fearful of what's going to happen in their marriage, fearful of their own kids, fearful of their employer, fearful of their employees. They're fearful of all kinds of things. We don't have to be fearful. Who should I fear? Now look at verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Boy, they're having a good time over there, aren't they? Though a host should encamp against me. Maybe it's not one or two. Maybe there's a whole army, it seems like. A whole army. Everybody's against me. A whole host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Look at this. One thing have I desired of the Lord. This is what I want. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire of his temple. He says, this is what I want out of life, just to be with God. Here, not just there yet. You know, I'm not there yet. I'm here. I want to dwell where God dwells. The tabernacle means a dwelling place. I want to be where God is. I don't want to be where God is not. Now, if I am where he is, then he's my light, he's my salvation, he's my strength, he's my hope. That's my goal. I want to be with him. I have a secondary desire. I want to be with her. Now, if I wanted to be with her, by the way, if you're visiting, that's my wife. If I want to be with her, if I want her, then I want to be with her. You understand? Not just talk about her, not just wave at her across the room. I want to dwell in the same house with her. Mm-hmm. She's my desire. But even greater than that desire, my desire is to dwell where God dwells. Now, you follow along with me here. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. Why do I want to dwell in the house of the Lord? Because when I'm in trouble, He's there. Listen, in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Be it in His house, His covering, His protection from the weather of the world, if you will. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. He's going to put me someplace where I'm safe and nobody can get to me. The secret. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. That word sacrifice really means a religious activity. It doesn't just mean to sacrifice, but that gives you the idea of spending time with the Lord there. He says, my sacrifice is going to be of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Wait a minute. In time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. So I'm in trouble. He's hiding me in His pavilion. I'm in the secret place of His tabernacle. And He's hiding me. He set me upon a rock. But you know what's happening while all that's going on there? I'm sitting in here in His secret place, sitting on a rock going, ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's what He just said. Nanner, 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 nanner. I'm right here with Him. That's what He's saying. Well, there's trouble. I know there's trouble. But I'm in the secret place of His tabernacle. Here, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Now, do I deserve this? Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now, why can I ask for mercy? Because the Lord is plenteous in mercy. He doesn't deal with me after my sins and my iniquities. But as a father who pitieth his child, so He pitieth me. He knows my frame that I'm just dust. Same thing for you. Watch. Verse 8. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said to me, you don't have to tell me twice. Thy face, O Lord, will I seek. When the Lord says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. Got it. Done. Don't have to tell me twice. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He says, listen, the last thing I want to lose is that secret place with God. Remember when David had sinned and committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband put out in the front of the battle and was killed, and he sinned, and he knew it, and he was faced with his sin. And it says in Psalm 51, it says, take not thy presence from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. He said, I wandered off there for a little bit. But I know you're merciful. I want to come back. Watch this, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Nothing hurts more. Nothing really hardly hurts more than your own father and mother just don't care about you. The Lord says, I love you. So teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. In other words, when it says me in a plain path, that doesn't mean non-fancy. He just means make it clear. Make sure I know exactly what you want me to do. I don't want to do one thing. I don't want to go one direction. If you're thinking I'm going that direction, and by the way, Lord, you know what I'm thinking. So if I'm thinking wrong, straighten me out. Make it clear to me. I've told you, God knows I'm stupid. But God knows that I know that I'm stupid. And God knows all the things that I don't know. And He knows that I don't know them. But if I come to Him looking for the truth, and I keep my nose in a book, and I keep my heart right with Him, I think He'll tell me what I need to know when I need to know it. Oh, would He really do that? I believe with all my heart. I'm an old man. I'm 61 years old. I've lived less way. Listen, the Lord has done this to me many, many times. Sometimes simple little things. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I got folks out there. Listen, I got folks coming out at me. I'm getting attacked from every side. I can't play guessing games here, God. I want to know what you want me to do. Make it clear to me. Verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Man, I was in trouble. Watch. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now look at verse 14. Here's the summary of what he's trying to tell us here. He's testified and give us a testimony. And here he's telling us now, here's his. Wait on the Lord. Take it from somebody who's been there. That's what he's saying. Take it from somebody who's lived this. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. In other words, sing in the tabernacle while the enemies are and the storms are howling all around. You can be inside his tabernacle, safe, singing, having a good time. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. And then it's almost you can put in here, did you hear me? Wait, I say, on the Lord. Read my lips. I'm not talking about George Bush, by the way. But read my lips. You young folks don't have any idea what I'm talking about. He said, no more taxes. Read my lips. Yeah, well, anyway. God says, wait, I say. You hear what I said? Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about that little word tonight, this morning, wait. Wait. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you so much for your blessing. I want to be a blessing to these folks. You know I do. So, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to give us what each of us need here this morning. Stir our hearts. Give us the faith to wait. Help us understand. We put in your hands. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The things that I've been speaking on are not complicated. They're not some deep, dark secret that only a few elite are allowed to understand. In fact, they're so obvious that I think many people jump right over them. And that's why I'm taking my time and causing us and even forcing us to focus on these simple truths so that we do not miss them and ignore them. I'm not trying to make things difficult or belabor them, but I also do not want to gloss over some essential elements of truly hoping in the Lord. Our hearts are deceitful and our lusts will lie to us, and we can easily be mistaken as to whether we are truly hoping in the Lord and seeking Him with all our hearts or whether we're not. We kind of think we are sometimes, but we're not. I want to cover this so well that one cannot miss the concept of what it means to hope in God. The God that cannot lie has promised that we will find Him. Jeremiah 29, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. However, if we are not obeying God, then apparently our heart is not really into finding Him. And again, make sure it is the Lord that you're seeking and not just freedom from your troubles or some kind of great manifestation that's going to give you a thrill and a chill. And then we can attribute to God. Now, in weeks past, we've talked about stand still. The last few weeks, we've taken a notice that we need to stand still and see experience the salvation of the Lord. If we just move on without standing still, we will not see the Lord work. We must cease from our own effort and allow the Lord to work. We need to rest our physical efforts and make sure we're only moving on the command of God. You understand a little better as we get going here. Now, this is the second thing, we said be still and know. We said stand still and see, and we said be still and know. Slacken, relax, get quiet. We need to rest our hearts and our souls and our minds and our emotions in the Lord. We need to rest ourselves in the Lord. Not just rest our body, but our soul. Many people do not trust God because they do not know God. That word, in fact, it says, be still and know that I am God. That word know means to ascertain by seeing, by experiencing Him. Stop long enough for God to work so you can actually see what God can do. Observe and take instruction to grow in respect in Him by seeing what He can do. Many people do not know God because they will not be still long enough to get to know God. If we will be still, we can know that the Lord is God. We make so much commotion, we allow so much commotion into our life from the world that distracts us and so forth, we don't really know who He is. So what are we doing while we're being still? Well, there are many folks who will force themselves to be still, and they appear to be still, but down inside, there's this disquietness still going on. Or we can put on a good face and make it look like we're being still, but our heart has not yet been given over. The Bible does not say with the feet one believes in the righteousness, or with the hands one believes in the righteousness. The Bible says with the heart one believes in the righteousness. We've got to believe in our heart. We need to be still and know that the Lord is God. Bring your life to a standstill and see. Take notice of the Lord. First, know Him as Savior. He will save anyone who comes to repentance. Secondly, we must know God is sovereign, that has all authority and thus can do anything. And thirdly, we need to spend time with God and know God as that still small voice. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, stand still and see. Be still and know. Today I wanted to talk about this. Wait patiently. Wait patiently. Our passage here says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this is going to sound a little obvious. But while we're being still and hoping to know the Lord, we must wait. Now, I've kind of talked about this a little bit, but I want to explain this a little better this morning. Why do we wait on God to work? Well, it's not because He's slow. We're not waiting because God is procrastinating. God doesn't procrastinate. I'm a procrastinator, but God's not a procrastinator. God's not trying to figure out what he needs to do. I said, well, just wait and I'll get this figured out for you here, Sterling. I'm not sure. I'm going to study on this a while. Most time, God waits to show us if we have faith in Him. Do we trust His word and promises to wait, knowing God will be faithful? If you understand God's promises and you move ahead of God and you do not wait for the Lord to work, it is because you do not trust God to keep His word. He says He's going to do it. Okay. Well, did He say He's going to do it? Yes, but he's no buts. If He says He's going to do it, He's going to do it. If I move on ahead of Him, then apparently I don't trust He's going to do what He says He's going to do. What are you doing? Watch me. What are you doing while you are standing still? You're exercising patience. Lord, I need patience. Now! If you ask for patience, you know what you get? I glory in tribulations also, because tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So if you ask for patience, he's going to help you have an experience to grow your patience. You have to have an experience. Many people are depressed because they have no hope. They have no hope because they have not seen the Lord move on their behalf in their time allotment. But the Lord is Lord and doesn't have to work within our time constraints. The Lord is not working with us. We're working with the Lord. Some folks do not realize what is all involved in waiting on the Lord. Now, you when it says here in our verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That word wait is an interesting little word, wait. That word wait really means to bind together. To almost twist it into one rope. A threefold cord is not easily broken. You know that old phrase, to twist it into a cord, to gather, to tarry. When we wait, we are tying ourselves to something else. We can't move until that other thing that we're tied to also moves. Nathan was talking about this in his Sunday school class. He said he was talking about, you know, you get you know, tied in, and he was saying this in a nice way. You get tied to a marriage. He said, that means I can't date anybody else. That's right. It's safer to be right where you are, Buster. Right? I am tied June 27th, 1981. I got hitched to her. We're hitched together. We're tied together. Now, you know what that means? It's now us. It's not me. It's we. It's not I. It's us. It always will be until death do us part. You know, you've heard of Bob Jones University. They asked Dr. Bob Jones, he said, have you ever considered a divorce? He said, no. Murder a couple times, but we're together till death do us part. So you could say, I am waiting on her. Now, the fact is, you know, watch. Now, think this through. Before we were married, I never waited. In fact, before I knew her, before I knew Janet, I never waited on her once. Now, think that through. I didn't know her. I never waited on her. She was not, and I hate to say it, an encroachment on my time. Because I didn't know her. Didn't even know she existed. Well, I actually did. I saw her across the music office. We were both teaching music at a local music store, and I saw her, but she was out of my league, so I didn't say anything. But then she made the first move. Yeah. Anyway. Now, before I met her, I never waited on her once. I didn't have to bother that. I didn't have to wait on her. Now that we're hitched, if I want to stay hitched, I got to wait on her. No, she's usually waiting on me, to be honest with you. She's usually waiting on me. I have to, my life is now not my own. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. It's the same word. So I need to attach myself to him. I can't have those promises if I'm not attached to him. So our passage says, wait on the Lord. Bind yourself. Make yourself to the point where you're obligated. That's not really the word I'm even looking for. You have no choice. If you're tied to him, you're going to wait and move when he says move. We can't move until that other thing that we're tied to moves. When that thing we're tied to moves, then we move. Your movement now is contingent upon the other being. This is, there's also a connotation in this that thing that I'm tied to is going to move sometime or another, and so I live in expectation of that thing making the decision for me. We dislike waiting because we feel like we're being held back by something or some other person, some situation, because we have other plans. We have something else we want to do. Go to the DMV. You wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. You go to the doctor's office, and they tell you to be there. I go tomorrow for my heart and Thursday for my kidney, just so you know. You pray for my testimony and everything goes well. But you go up there and you wait. They want you here at this time, but they're not taking you to this time. But they didn't want to wait for you. But they don't mind if they make you wait. You know, I've also thought, oh, my dad always said his time was worth $50 an hour, and sometimes you feel like you want to send him a bill for taking your time that long. But anyway, I'll just deduct it from my bill. But you wait, and we feel like being held back because we have to wait. And you know what? Sometimes we feel the same way with God. He's holding me back because he's making me wait. Anticipation is making me wait. Remember the ketchup commercial? You know, trying to get it out of the bottle. Remember that? Yeah, I got a burger to eat. I don't have time for this ketchup to take this long. Scrape this thing out of here. What's the matter with that? We do this with God. God says, no, I got good things. I'm going to move when the time's ready to move. Now wait. If you want to be tied to the Lord and thus tied to the blessings that come from being tied to the Lord, you're going to have to wait on Him. If that thing that I'm tied to has given a promise to perform a certain action, then I am waiting for that action to come to pass because it is only a matter of time that it will come. If I just do not know when it will move, and I will be expected to move with it though. When it finally happens, I don't know when it is, but sometime when it goes, we're going to go. So what do? I continue to wait. In your Bible, if you can, you hold your place there in Psalm, because we're going to be in that general area again. If you can find Lamentations 3, I want you to see something. Jeremiah, Lamentations. They're in the major prophets, now two-thirds of the way through the Old Testament. Lamentations is not a prophet, but it was written by Jeremiah, the major prophet. Lamentations 3:24. Look at this. This is great stuff. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. He says, the Lord is my portion, my allotment. I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get from the Lord. He's a giver of every good and precious gift, right? Coming from above, the Father of lights. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is the one that's going to provide for me. The Lord is the one that's going to take care of me. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, my hope is in Him. Now that word hope right there, you know what that word hope there is, means? Ready? To wait patiently. Listen, what I need is going to come from the Lord. Now if what I need is going to come from the Lord, then I need to stick with the Lord. Well, yeah, but everybody else seems to be getting something. I'm not getting anything right now. But the Lord is your portion. Listen, the world is not my portion. The world is going to steal what I have. That's what it's going to do. It's going to lie to me. It's going to steal. The Lord is my portion. So it would be dumb thing. Have you ever? I am bad about this. Have you ever been in a line of traffic? And like on a freeway, and there's two lanes going the same direction. And you're sitting there, and this lane goes, and your lane's not going anywhere. and so you find a bird, you jump over in there, and you're in this language, you know, have you ever been there? Oh my soul! I think, well, I'm not. You know what? I'm going to go over. And I wait till I should have done it, you know, way earlier, or something. Or I don't know what, but I can't wait patiently. And I get out of line, and I should have stayed in line. This lane is going to go where I'm going. God says, "I'm your portion. I'm your allotment in life." I'm going to stick with him. He's my source of blessing. So hope, be patient, because you have a confident expectation. Thus you are willing to wait for the Lord to move, because he's the source of the blessings. He's the source of the good things that I have coming to me, or you have coming to you. It's just a matter of his timing. Wait. Verse 25. Well, do I really need to wait? Should I really? Well, listen, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. I don't know if I'm getting my fair share. You know the word good there means? Your fair share. Showing favor. The Lord is fair with those who wait, who get tied up with him, bound with him. For the soul that seeketh him. Well, what's the word seeketh mean? It means to follow. Treads, walks after, he's tied to, he's yoked up with. You seeking him, you're going to go where he goes. When he stops, you stop. When he goes, you go. If he turns, he turns. You turn. Why? Because I'm tied to him. And I want to be. Because I'll be down some other road that I shouldn't be at. But he's good to those who stick with him. I wasn't expecting that one. But that's okay, because I want to be where he is. Look at verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good. That means it's the right thing to do. It's going to bring about good and right things in your life. It will bring about benefit to me, not hurt. It's good for me, good for you, that a man should both hope, have a confident expectation, and quietly wait for the salvation of the word, of the Lord. You know what that means? Stop complaining. Stop telling God what he's supposed to do. Be still. Be quiet. Say not a word. Wait quietly. I don't know where we're going, but we're going someplace. You can't do anything right now because you're tied to the Lord. And you're not moving until the Lord moves. So just be patient. Just be patient. Wait. Number two. Enjoy yourself while you're waiting. That sounds funny, but enjoy yourself while you're waiting. Waiting's not a bad thing. We think it's a bad thing because we're not getting where we're supposed to be. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. Stop complaining about the wait and have a good time while you wait in the expectation of wonderful things the Lord's going to do. I don't know where we're going. But it's like that's what my wife always said. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be interesting to see what God does. Take your Bible, go back to Psalm, but go to Psalm 37:7. Psalm 37, verse 7. I want to show you something here. There's an awful lot of people who, during the wait, ulcerate. They worry. They fret. They complain. They connive and scheme on their bed at night, trying to figure out some way to get around the waiting. Follow me? Look what it says in Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The word rest there is an interesting word. It means to be dumb. Now, that word is dumb, you're deaf and dumb, is the way you used to use that term. In other words, you have to be in a position where you have nothing to say. Hold your peace, shut up, listen to what the Lord says, and then do what he says you're supposed to do. Just rest in him. Listen, stop trying to figure it all out. Do right. Put it in his hands. He says, rest, watch, and wait patiently for him. Now, this is interesting. The word, the little phrase, wait patiently. Watch. Ready for this? Ready? It means to twist, to whirl in a circle, to dance. That's what it means. Now, think about this with me. Whatever that problem is that you have right now, and if you don't have any problems, you had one a while back, so think about that one. I say that facetiously. What if right now that problem was gone? Just gone. It's just not there. All of a sudden, you feel lighter. You start whistling, having a good time, and you're going to walk in there and say, what's going on with you? Well, it's a good day because your problem's gone. The problems we have are not ours. See, I'm going to give it to him. Not my problem anymore. You know, I may still have issues coming at me, but it's his to take care of. And he's going to take care of that problem better than I'm going to take care of that problem. So listen, once I give, that's why it says, be careful, anxious for nothing. Watch. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto the Lord, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you get the peace that passes understanding? You give it to him and say, here it is, Lord. Thank you very much. Oh, I got another one here for you. Here, it's another problem. Sorry. There you go. Thank you very much. And I go back and live my life. Now, I'm not saying there's not going to be problems. I'm not saying the problems are going to disappear. I'm telling you, the answer to the problem is him, and he's going to take care of it while I wait. But while I'm waiting, I'm watching and waiting to see and rejoicing because he's going to take care of my problem. You say, well, I don't know if that would work. Well, that's because you never gave it to him. You never really gave it to him. And if you ever take it back, then you didn't give it to him. You know, you say, well, yeah, I believe. No, wait. That's like these people who say, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says charity or love never faileth. And you got somebody, they got some person, you know, they're having a hard time in their marriage. Well, I never loved them, or I don't love them anymore. I said, I don't love them anymore. Then you never did love them. Because love never fails. Love doesn't love because you like them. In fact, once you don't like them anymore, that's when love really kicks in. You say, well, I don't think anybody can love like that. That's because you're loving like a human trying to get something out of it. You need to love like God, who's willing to love unconditionally. How are you going to love like that? From God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape love. God's love. It's not phileo love, which is the love, a brotherly love. It's not eros love, erotic love. People get married because they like each other. And by the way, you ought to marry somebody you like. Okay? And people get married because the sex is hot, which, by the way, you shouldn't know yet when you get married. You shouldn't know that yet. But you decide there's a person you're going to love unconditionally because love never fails. Same thing goes. If I trust the Lord and I give it to him, that if I ever take it back up, then I really didn't trust him. I just gave it to him and took a chance at it to see if he's going to do something with it. I didn't trust him yet. He says, wait patiently. Watch, look at verse 7. He said, well, first, it's rest and wait. Rest in the Lord, it means keep your mouth shut, and wait patiently. Just have a good time waiting. What was that little song the kids used to watch? What will we do while we're waiting? What shall we do while we're waiting? It was an old kid's. Mr. Rogers, is that what it was? Okay. Good old Mr. Rogers. It was always a beautiful day in the neighborhood there. And so he says, watch. He says, fret not. Look at verse 7. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of a man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That word fret not means, the word fret there means to get warm. In other words, don't get hot under the collar because everybody else seems like they're getting away with this. And you're stuck trusting God. I know of what I speak. And you know of what I speak. We get mad because we're looking at, and then because it's that line of this zoom, zoom, and here you sit, doing nowhere. The world's passing you by. And so we jump over in the world, and sure enough, then the world passes by on the other side. Relax. Turn over to Psalm 27 where we started. I'm having too much fun. We're going too far, too long. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. I just want to hang out with God. For the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Why should I be depressed? And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. It says, I'm going to come out ahead of those people who want to hurt me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. There it is. I put it in him. He is going to put me on the rock in the secret place. And there I'm going to be. Nanner, nanner, nanner. You know what? It's fun to watch a thunderstorm from inside. Well, that was a big one. Yeah. Oh, here comes the rain. Look at that one. Oh, there's hail coming. That's fun. You know why? Because there you are in the secret place, protected. We can be just as safe in the arms of Jesus, but we got to be willing to be tied to him. But I don't like being tied down. You know, I'm a free wheeler. You know? I can't be tied down. Well, fine. And live in the rest of the world. How many times have you heard people say, well, I don't want to be tied down. And they're trying to find a place with this friend to sleep for a couple of weeks and this person over here. And, you know, and they always driving around on an old clunker. You know what I mean? They got this job and that job and this job. Well, I just can't be tied down. Well, fine. Live like that. But God says, if you tie yourself to me, you're tying yourself to protection, to wisdom, to comfort, to joy. Verse 6 says, and now shall mine enemy be head above. I'm sorry, let me go back to verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I wish we could put all the energy that we put into wasting, we waste on worry. All the energy we waste on worry and all the energy we waste on depression and put it towards seeking the face of God while we're waiting for him to move. Verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He says, I'm just like any other person. I'm flesh and blood. I'm full of fear, except for one thing. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait. Get tied up with God. Be of good courage. Proverbs 20:22 says, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord. He shall save thee. Got one last thing. I know it's 12 o'clock. Got one last thing. Turn to Isaiah 40 real quick. Isaiah 40, 25. We're supposed to wait. And go ahead and enjoy the wait while you're sitting in the pavilion of his protection. Enjoy the wait. Watch it from the inside. Number three. Ready for this? Waiting on the Lord is not like waiting on anything or anyone else in all of the universe. Flesh and blood will fail you. Amen. Amen. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're waiting on someone that's bigger than everything. When you're tied to Him, you're tied to the power of the universe. I think there's some people who still don't believe that. You still think it's a fairy tale. Maybe you're attaching, listen, maybe you attach Jesus Christ to Santa Claus. I don't know. I'm serious. There's a lot of people who say, well, that was all just part of the Christmas season. And then they found out that things weren't as they were told, and they decided to throw out the whole works because it's just a warm and fuzzy memory. And it's not the fact, and we got to be careful that we don't make Christmas a warm and fuzzy memory. This is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who came to this earth to pay for our sins. And not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. He came to bring life and life more abundantly. He said, listen, fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 25. You know, we you know what the problem is? We live in comparison. We say, well, I think God's bigger than me. Okay. And I think He's bigger than my enemy. And I think He's bigger than the problem I have with my family. I don't know. I'm really not sure whether He's bigger than the problem I have with my spouse. And is He bigger than the problem I have down at work? Is He bigger than my problem with my finances? You see, we're not sure that He's bigger. Isaiah 40, 25 says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Who do you compare Him to? There's nobody in comparison. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my ways hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? In other words, the Lord doesn't know really where I'm going. He doesn't know my problems. He doesn't walk in my shoes. And you know what the fact is? Watch. He says, He's passed over, my judgment is passed over from my God. I think God ought to listen a little bit. I've got a couple of things that I think are pretty good ideas that He might want to work with. We do it. Well, I know what He said, but I got a little thing I want to throw in the mix here. Why isn't He listening to me? I mean, He can hear me, right? He says He can hear me, and I prayed to Him. No, you told Him what to do. That's what you did. You didn't pray. Praise asking. Prayer may be praising. But prayer is not propositioning Him. Prayer is not proposing what you're supposed to do. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, speakest, O Israel, my ways hid from the Lord, my judgment passed over from my God? Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He's not tired. You know what? I'll almost guarantee you most of you are going to go home and sleep tonight. And if not, if you're not going to sleep tonight because you're going to work on third shift, you'll probably take a nap this afternoon. You bunch of lazy bums. I get a sanctified nap every Sunday afternoon if I can. So don't call between 2 and 4. Just saying. Because I get weary. God doesn't get weary. He's not weary. He's not going to faint. He's not going to fall out of the throne. Man, I just had a hard day. Well, Sterling Walsh, I mean, he wears me out. No. Watch. He fainteth not, neither is weary. Watch. There is no searching of his understanding. Well, I think, you're not even in the same league as God's wisdom. You're not the same universe. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know how we are when we were kids? We can do anything. Two high school boys, and then one of them says to the other, "Watch this." You know you're in trouble. Famous last words, "Watch this." It can do that. I remember we decided, we had a girl I was kind of sweet on. She drove a Pinto. It was a Pinto. Pinto? I know, but I'm trying to think it was a Pinto. It was a car like that. It was Josie Boss. I mean, you remember Josie Boss? Okay. She was a piano player for the choir, and I was kind of sweet on her. But so was a couple other guys. Anyway, her little car was sitting there and in the driveway, and there was a car parked here and a car parked here at the school parking lot. We literally picked up her car and turned it sideways. So she couldn't get out either way because she was parked in from a car on either side. Just picked her up, put her in there. Yeah, anyway, you know how boys are. I can handle anything. You know? Even the young men shall faint and be weary. Listen, you can't do it all. I'm sorry, you cannot do it all. But, look at verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. He didn't say the young men who wait on the Lord. He just says those that wait on the Lord. I ain't as young as I used to be. But I can wait. I can wait. If I wait, he shall renew my strength. The word wait, tied to, bound to, same word. Those that bind themselves to him. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Those that are tied to him, tied to the Lord, shall renew, spring up, sprout out with strength, vigor, force, productivity. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. In other words, that word weary there means to become a gasping and exhausted. You know, life is exhausting. Unless you give it to him. Now, it may be exhausting until I get it over there to him. When I first came here, I was the pastor, and I had a volunteer secretary. That's who we had. And so if it needed to be done, I did it. Now I got staff. And I just wait on them to do it. We had a funeral yesterday. They needed to set up tables for 125 people. So what did I do? Hey, guys, that's going to be need to be set up on Friday. And they did it. I didn't worry a bit about it. I did not worry a bit about it. They're going to do it. They're going to take care of it. Now, God's not my servant. I get in line with him. But when I get in line with him, you know he treats me like a king. He treats me better than any part of the world could. You say, well, you know, soar like eagles. Sounds good. How in the world do you soar like eagles when you run with a bunch of turkeys? Stop running with the turkeys. You know what? We're tied to. We're waiting what the world says we're supposed to do. We're waiting to move when the world moves. Listen, there's people who are watching the news, waiting to find out what the world says is true, and then they're going to jump on. They're tied. They won't hardly make a move in life unless the media says so. Boy, if we could be that tied to the Word of God. Because you know what? The world has failed us. They've lied to us. And sometimes they were just dumb. They didn't lie, maybe they just didn't know. But no one, listen, his understanding is beyond everything. And his power, his strength is out of this world. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. And shall run and not faint, walk and not be weary. And our passage says, wait, I say, on the Lord.